Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Today we are going to hear from another person in our Nations family as they bring the Word of God. We're going to be hearing from Pastor Roland Murphy. So how about we stand to our feet and let's put our hands together for Pastor Roland. So good. So great. Pastor Roland is our Cork campus pastor. And what I love about Pastor Roland is the incredible passion that he has for Jesus and the Word. Every time he preaches, I feel like I walk away just so encouraged and uplifted and convicted by the Word of God. So you know what? You are in for something special today. So lean in to what he's going to say to you. Come on, let's put our hands together for Pastor Roland.
Wow. Thank you, Pastor Mel. What an introduction. Take a seat. Take a seat. That's awesome. Really appreciate that, Pastor Mel. And, you know, before we go any further, I just want to honor your campus pastors. Pastor Mel and Mark, those guys are absolutely amazing. They're doing an amazing job down here in Port Kennedy. The moment you walk in, you know, you can just sense that you're at home. You just feel God's presence. So let's show some honor and love to your amazing leaders. We love you, and you're doing an amazing job. So well done, well done. It is so good to be with you here this morning. It's been a while, but it is good to be here. And to be honest, I would rather be somewhere else. That's 15,000 kilometers away on the other side of the globe in a place in Cork in Ireland. But no, I'm here. And, you know, for those of you who don't know our story, Roland and Leanne's story, about 3 years ago, the Lord just laid it on our heart to relocate and move to Ireland. And we were gearing up to do that and planning, sold everything, sold our house, sold everything that we had and gearing up to do that. And then, as you know, things went a little bit downhill around the world, and we couldn't go. But, you know, it didn't go according to my plan, what we thought. But I should correct that and say it didn't go according to my plan, but maybe it was God's plan, you know. And in Proverbs, it says we can make plans, but the Lord determines our steps. And we have learned that we plan and what we actually happens is determined by God. But we can find that frustrating. Amen? Let's be honest. We can. We make our plans and it doesn't go according to plans. But life is like that. You know, life is ups and downs. It's not mountaintops all the time. It's ups and downs. If you look at the charts of life, it's not like that. It's ups and downs, ups and downs, ups and downs. So, you know, but you don't need me to tell you that life doesn't always go according to plan. Life can feel like a roller coaster. Life is a series of ups and downs, highs and lows. And, you know, King David, he knew that. And in Proverbs 23, verse 4, which, not Proverbs, Psalms, it's just a beautiful psalm, amazing psalm. But verse 4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So David knew that life was ups and downs, highs and lows when he was writing the psalm. But what does the Bible mean when it says valleys? What's a valley? What is the Bible applying to us in our lives and to today when it's talking about valleys? And a valley is an unforeseen circumstance. You know, the circumstance that we faced, we didn't see that coming. We had a plan and we thought we were going to pack everything up, get on a plane and move. But that's not the way it worked out. There was unforeseen circumstances. A valley can mean the low points in our lives. A valley can be an unexpected event in our lives that can cause us to be discouraged, bring doubt, fear, and rob us of our peace. The problem we have when we're in a valley is it's not the valley. The valley's not the problem. In fact, valleys are unavoidable. Valleys are a part of life. In our lives, we don't go from mountaintop to mountaintop. No, we go up and down as we try and navigate ourselves through life. It's ups and downs, ups and downs. So if the valley is not the problem, what is? The problem is not the valley. The problem is that we can get stuck in the valley. We can get stuck in the valley. And this morning, I'd love to share with you some thoughts about that fact, about being stuck in the valley. And to be honest, I'm just sharing the season that Roland and Leanne have been in the last year or two and still are in. So I'm just sharing from what God has walked us through, brought us through, and just sharing from my heart a little bit this morning. So, you know, when you're standing on a mountaintop, you can see as far as the eye can see. The view from a mountaintop is so much better than in the valley. When you're in the valley, you can't see very far because there's peaks on both sides and you can't see very far. Valleys can be dark and you can lose your vision when you're stuck in the valley. You know, dreams can die in the valley. When you get stuck in the valley, you can lose sight of where you're supposed to be going. You want to give up. You want to give up sometimes when you're stuck in the valley. And when we're walking through the valley moments in our lives, it feels like they will destroy us and derail our journey from what we determine is our destination. We begin to question whether the suffering we're going through is really worth it. We wonder where God is and why he would allow us to hurt so much. Come on, who can relate to this? You don't want to get stuck in the valley. Do you feel stuck this morning? Are you discouraged? Have you lost your enthusiasm? Have you lost your sense of purpose? Are you in a valley right now? A valley of loneliness, a valley of rejection, failure, divorce, unemployment, depression, addiction, physical pain, financial ruin. The list can go on and on. Are you in a valley this morning? You know, King David, he said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they will comfort me. David trusted the shepherd. He recognized that under the shepherd's leading, he may lead him through a valley sometimes. Through the valley, not in the valley. It's so important that we catch this. It's through the valley. It's not in the valley. The valley isn't the destination. The valley isn't a dwelling place. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It doesn't say, though I walk in the valley. It says through the valley. Why does the Lord lead us? Why does he allow us to walk through the valley? Why doesn't he protect us from the valley? That's a better option. Isn't it? I think that's a better option. Why doesn't he protect us from the valley? Why doesn't he warn us? There's a valley ahead. Don't go down that way. Take this path. This is better because there's no valley. Why doesn't he do that? Why does he allow us to walk through the valley? Why doesn't he allow us to just avoid the valleys? You see, whenever I read Psalm 23, I just picture myself walking. So I'm sure you relate to this. I picture myself walking through the valley. We're going to have a picture of a valley up there shortly. And, you know, you're walking down the middle of the valley. There's mountains on both sides, and you're just walking through the valley. And I picture myself walking through this valley here, through the streams and all the way down to the end as I'm reading Psalm 23. That's how I picture it. But, you know, recently the Lord just kind of showed me something different about the psalm and about a valley and when you're walking through it. And the reason the Lord allows us to walk through the valley is because he wants us to go higher. You see, a valley is a V, right? There's two peaks, just like on the picture there. There's two peaks. There's a mountain here and a mountain on this side. And when the Lord talks to us and teaches us and tells us about walking through the valley, the reason he wants us to go through the valley is because he wants us to go higher. You see, we're on this mountain, and to get higher, which is the other peak on the other side, you have to come down from that mountain, go through the valley, and up the other peak to the top of the mountain. The reason the Lord allows us to go through the valley is because he wants us to go higher. And the only way that we can get higher is through the valley. We're on this side, we're on this mountain, and that mountain is higher. But to get there, we have to come down from this valley, walk through the valley, and up the other mountain. You see, it doesn't say in the valley. In the valley is walking in the valley all the way. In the valley is getting stuck in the valley. We don't want to get stuck in the valley. We want to go through the valley. And you see a valley, when you read it like that, you see you're only going through. That's very brief. Through the valley is very brief. You come down, you go through, and you go up the other side. But when you're in the valley, you're stuck there. That's not what the Lord wants. He doesn't want us in the valley. He wants us to go through the valley. The reason the Lord allows us to walk through the valley is because He wants us to go higher, and the only way to go higher is through the valley. But what happens sometimes, as the Lord is leading us through the valley, we can get stuck. Stuck in the valley. You know, as I was preparing for today, I started about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and the Lord gave me this word about being stuck in the valley. And I started reading Psalm 23, and I've just come to love this psalm. This is my favorite psalm without a shadow of a doubt. And I love David's heart. I love how he expresses his love and trust and faith in his shepherd and his savior. And my prayer is that we have a fresh understanding and revelation of our good shepherd. And I'm beginning to grasp this. I've been reading Psalm 23 every day, just meditating on it. And I'm beginning to see what David saw. So I want to read Psalm 23 because it's beautiful. It's just a beautiful words on how David expresses his love and trust for his favor. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff will comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Beautiful. I just love it. I love his heart. You see, when David wrote Psalm 23, he knew exactly the character and nature of a shepherd because he was one. Before he became king, he was a shepherd. He knew that a shepherd had a special bond with his sheep. He knew that in the middle of the darkest night, the shepherd never hesitated to go after a sheep that was lost, that was hurting, or in danger. You see, David, the shepherd boy, he actually risked his life on many occasions to go and rescue his sheep. He went after a lion that had a lamb in his mouth and grabbed it out. That's incredible. A bear as well. He's chasing off bears to save his sheep. So he knew exactly the heart of his shepherd. He knew a shepherd not only knows his sheep, protects his sheep, leads his sheep, but he will lay down his life for his sheep. And the good news is, Jesus is our good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd who gives his life for his sheep. Psalm 23 is personal. It's not a past tense, wouldn't it be nice kind of passage. Psalm 23 is right here, right now passage about you and your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. David knew this in a personal sense. He could say, "My shepherd." It wasn't that the Lord was a shepherd for others. He was a real personal shepherd for David himself. And as you read Psalm 23, you can tell that David is writing through experience. He is speaking from his heart about his very intimate relationship with his God. Why could David say, "I can walk through the darkest valley and I fear nothing"? Because David, who had walked with God all his life, had learned, often through painful experiences, that God is good. God can be trusted. That God's goodness and love will follow him all the days of his life. He knew that. He knew that. David talked about God as if God belonged to him and he belonged to God. His relationship is intimate and his relationship is safe. That's why David could say, "Even in the darkest valley, I will fear nothing." It's an amazing psalm, and I really encourage you just to open your Bible and just read and meditate on that beautiful psalm. If David was here this morning and he was reading Psalm 23, I picture it like this. He would say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And he would close the book and walk off the stage because he grasped it. There's no need to say any more. There's no need. The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I need. And he would walk off. Because that, as far as David's concerned, that covers everything. The Lord's my shepherd. Full stop. Mic drop. Gone. He's out of here. That's what he would do. He would. It was like the Lord. And we need that revelation. We need the revelation that the Lord is my shepherd. Just like David had. What was true for David is true for Roland. What's true for David is true for you. The Lord is your shepherd. Mic drop, walk off. Don't have to worry about anything. Don't have to be anxious about anything, because our shepherd is in control of our lives. He's going to lead us to where we need to go. He's going to protect us from that. We don't have to be anxious if we have this revelation that David had. Jesus is your shepherd. He knows you. He gives his life for you. You are precious to him, and he loves you passionately, and he won't let any harm come to you. The Lord is far more than a shepherd. He is your shepherd, just like David. We must learn to trust our shepherd as he leads us through the valley, because he will lead us through the valley. But we can still trust him. We can trust him as he leads us through. But don't get stuck. Don't get stuck in the valley. We get stuck in the valley by walking in the valley, not through the valley. We get stuck in the valley when we take our eyes off the shepherd. We get stuck in the valley when we take our eyes off the promise. When the Lord gives you a promise, and when you begin to doubt that it may come to pass, that's when we can get stuck in the valley. If we want to go higher, we got to go through the valley. If we want to go where God is leading you, you have to go through the valley. It's the process that the Lord allows us to go through to take us higher. Every promise has a process. David had to go through the process. As a shepherd boy, he was anointed king, but he had to go through the process before he got to the throne. David had to go through the valley before he got to the palace. Why? Because God was more interested in David's character than David's comfort. God's primary goal for us is not comfort, but purpose. God has got a purpose for your life. He's got a purpose for your life. And to walk in that purpose, we have to go through the process. And the process involves walking through valleys. We have to walk through these valleys to fulfill what God wants to do in us and through us. Joseph was given a dream that he was going to be a man of great influence, but he had to go through the process before the dream became a reality. Everyone goes through the valley. It's the process that we have to go through. Anyone who has done anything significant for the Lord has had to have a valley experience. Look at Joseph. Look at David. Did they have valleys that they had to walk through? Yes. Did they come through them? Yes. The Lord led them through the valleys. They came through and they rose up to the other side. No matter how discouraged you may feel right now as you walk through the valley, remember the words of David. You are with me. The Lord is with you as you walk through the valley. As he's leading you, he's guiding you, he's going to protect you and comfort you. You will get through this. If you feel stuck in the valley this morning, you will get through this. It's just a process that the Lord is allowing you to walk through because he wants to take you higher. You have to go through the process to walk in your purpose. But what is the purpose? The purpose that God allows us is to allow us to walk through is learning to trust him when we don't understand. Learning to trust him even when the promise that he gave you seems dead. To go through the process takes faith. It's one thing to say we have faith when all is going well. It's one thing to say we have faith when everything in our life is sweet, it's nice, it's rosy. But do we still have faith when we're in the valley? Do we still have faith when we're in the valley? We have to learn to trust God in the middle of the valley. Valleys are a part of the process. If we can't have faith in the middle of the valley, what's the point in having faith? If we only have faith when we can see the answer to our problem, if we only have faith when we can see a way out of our mess, then that's not really faith. When we get stuck in the valley, we can't see a way, and we can't see a way out. That's when we need to have faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and an assurance of what we do not see. If you can see it, you don't need faith. That's what that verse is saying. If you can see it, you don't need faith. But faith is the confidence of what we do not see. When you can't see the answer, that's when we need faith. When your life is in a mess, that's when you need faith. When you're in a valley, that's when you need faith. Faith in God, trust in Him to get you out of the mess, out of the valley that you're in. Hebrews 11 verse 8 says, by faith, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. This is incredible. Abraham couldn't see where he was going, but he still trusted God. That is an amazing faith right there. He still trusted God. When you're stuck in the valley, it feels like you don't know which direction to go. You don't know how to get out of here. But the good news is, still trust Him. Even when you don't know where to go, He will get you out of where you're going. I just love Abraham. God told him, pack everything up. Pack up your household and everything, and I'm sending you. And Abraham said, fine, great, packed everything up. And he says to God, where are we going? And God said, I'll tell you when you get there. I'll tell you when you get there. It feels like that sometimes. That's how God leads us. God says, go. And we say, okay, I'm willing to go. Where am I going? Just head off, and I'll tell you when you get there. I'll show you on the way. Because that takes great faith. When we do that, when we're obedient to those leadings, when God leads us to that, we're telling God, I trust you. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know how long it's going to take. But I trust you anyway, Lord, because you are leading me in that direction. Sometimes it seems when God gives you a promise, He doesn't give you any other information. Sometimes it feels He gives you a promise, He doesn't give you any more details. He doesn't tell you how it's going to happen. He doesn't tell you how long it's going to take. Like, relocate to Ireland, and He doesn't tell you how long it's going to take to get there. We just got to trust Him. We just got to trust Him. Look at the life of Joseph. Look at the life of David. Look at the life of Abraham and Sarah. God gave all of them a promise, but they had to go through the valley before the promise became a reality. How do you think Joseph felt when his brother threw him in the pit? How do you think he felt when he was thrown into prison for something he didn't even commit? If I was in Joseph's shoes, I would be complaining to God. I would be crying, Lord, what is going on? You gave me a dream. You gave me a promise. And yet I'm stuck, thrown into this prison. It's like, what is going on? I'm giving up on that dream. I'm giving up on that promise. It's like, you missed the Lord. You've changed your mind. I don't know what's going on, but God doesn't change His mind. Once God gives someone a promise, that's it. It's in the bank. It's gospel. It's going to come to pass. God does not lie. So He's not going to tell you one thing and then change His mind and it won't come to pass. No, if God has given you a promise, if He's given you a promise about your family, about your life, it will come to pass. Don't go by what you see. Don't go if you're thrown in a pit. Don't go if you're thrown into prison. Don't go by those things. Go by what God says, and what God says is final. I'm sure David, Abraham, Sarah had times of doubt in between the time God gave them the promise and it became a reality. When we go through the valley, there's going to be times of doubt, times of doubting that the promise that God gave you is going to become a reality. We get stuck in the valley when we start believing the doubt. And that's what happened to Roland and Leanne. We got stuck in the valley and lost our vision. We got stuck in the valley and lost our vision. God gave us a promise, and as some of you would know, it didn't go according to Roland's plan. there was obstacles in the way. Things got in delay after delay after delay. And I started walking in the valley. I started believing the doubt. And because I started believing the doubt, I got stuck. I got stuck in the valley. And that's not what God wants. As you go through the valley, there's going to be times of doubt. There's going to be times when it may look like the promise that God gave you is dead. I'm going to ask the band to come back up and help me. But before I finish, you know, you see, like a farmer doesn't plant a seed one day and go out the next day and expect a harvest. He doesn't do that. That's just ridiculous to think that might happen. Once the seed is planted in the ground, the time directly after, it looks like nothing is happening. Our time in the valley can be a time, like the time a seed is in the ground. It looks like nothing is happening. It can look like something is happening. You know, there's an amazing verse in John 12. This is Jesus speaking, and he's just about to go to the cross. He's speaking about himself, and he says, unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, dead to the world, it is never any more than a grain of wheat. But if it is buried, it sprouts and reproduces itself many times over. In the same way, anyone who holds onto his life just as it is destroyed that life. You know, but that scripture, Jesus is talking about his own life there, the seed in the ground. And you see, Jesus, he didn't die on Friday. He was buried. You see, the disciples thought it was over. When he was crucified, they went back fishing, they went back to their jobs, they said the promise is dead, the promise is over, it's all finished. But it wasn't finished, it wasn't dead, it was just planted. There's a big difference between planting something and burying something. You bury something that's dead, you plant something that's going to bear fruit. And sometimes it feels like that for us. The promise that God gave us, it's in the ground, it's buried for a little while, but it's not dead. It's not dead. The seed is not dead. You see, it looks the same. You know, if you bury something, like as our kids were growing up, a goldfish might have died or whatever, and we take it out the back, we dig a hole and put it in the ground and cover it over. That looks exactly the same when you bury something. You dig a hole, you put the seed in the ground, and you cover it over. And you see, the thing about planting something, you put the seed in the ground, but there's a period where nothing happens. From the surface, it looks like nothing is happening. Day after day, week after week, nothing's happening, nothing's happening. But there is something happening. The seed is putting out roots. It's preparing. It's going deeper, deeper, deeper. And then day after day, nothing, 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 nothing. And then finally, there's a little sprout. Be excited when you see the sprout. Because after the sprout comes a tree, and the tree bears fruit. And that's what it like feels like sometimes in the valley. We're stuck in the valley and nothing's happening, nothing's happening, nothing's happening, nothing's happening, nothing's happening. But God is at work. God is preparing you. You know, Roland and Leanne, we are not the same people from 2 years ago. God has done such a deep work within us. He was preparing us, getting us ready for what was to come. I am so glad that he led us through the valley. I'm so glad that we did not jump on a plane 2 years ago and go to Ireland, because we weren't ready. I didn't realize that at the time, but God knew. That's why he led us through the valley, so that our faith becomes stronger than what it was. I am ready. We are ready for whatever comes at us. No matter what obstacles comes in the way, now I can trust him. Now I can trust him. Back then, I couldn't. So I am so glad that God did not warn me about a valley and get me to avoid the valley, but he led me through the valley. He led me through the valley. But we lost. We lost our vision. We got stuck in the valley when we took our eyes off the shepherd, when we took our eyes off the promise. The promise has not changed. If God has given you a promise, it has not changed. Delay does not change the promise. It doesn't matter how long it's going to take. That's God's department. You just trust Him and you will see the promises come to pass in your life. Just trust Him, trust Him, trust Him. You see, the valley, it's about surrender. We like to be in control. When we don't know how or we don't know when, we can find that very frustrating because we're not in control. But let me tell you this, you were never in control anyway. God is in control. The valley is about yielding to the Holy Spirit. When we can say, even though I don't like it, even though I don't understand it, even though I know He could and I think He should, but He chooses not to, but I will still trust in Him, that's when we become unstuck. That's when we step into faith and take a step off the valley floor and a step up the mountain. We can choose to go backwards towards safety or forwards towards growth. What are you going to choose this morning? Let's stand to our feet. What are you going to choose this morning? The team's going to lead us in a moment. And I just think we need just a moment to catch what the Spirit is saying to us here. The valley is about surrender. Are you willing to walk through the valley? Are you willing for Him to lead you through the valley? As the team leads us, maybe you got to lay some stuff down. Anxiety, fear, worry. Lay that at His feet and let Him carry you through the valley.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.